Oh my God, you're back. Thank God.
Welcome to episode 308 of the Professional Book Nerds Podcast, presented by Overdrive. This is Jill.
Oh, you exist. You're here.
I'm back.
Thank goodness
you're back.
People who do a podcast completely by themselves, I get why most of them are like once a week at most.
Yeah.
Because doing it, even like you gave me your books for the one, and like I brought Christina in, and I like did one by myself. It's just like, oh, all right, well, another intro with my voice. Nothing has happened, guys. Nothing happened. Here's my fake intro. You had a lot of things happen, though. You were in Seattle.
I was in Seattle for American Library Association Midwinter Conference.
Yeah.
So we're going to... Session, is that what you called it?
Like, yeah, it was like... Well, because I actually can tell you, it was... I was listening to the Reading Glasses podcast from our friends.
Sure.
And we'll get into them in a minute. But Mallory, our buddy, said, like, she was there, and she called, like, the American Library Association Midwinter, and, like, she said session, or she said something that I'd never heard before, and I was like, Mallory, you don't even know the name of it. Come on. And then I looked it up, and it was right, and I was like, well, damn it. So, but yeah, so that's going to be today's episode. We're going to let you catch up, everyone, on all the awesome stuff you did in Seattle, all the interviews and all the fun things, and then we'll just kind of tell people what we've been reading lately, because we haven't done that in a while, so... The floor is yours.
Oh, okay, great. So,
they heard me talk for like three straight episodes.
Fair enough. Yeah, so I went to Seattle for ALA. I did 8 interviews.
Guys, that's...
It was supposed to be 9, but someone had to cancel because they got sick.
It's not even just that you did 8 interviews. Like, I feel like people don't... This isn't our job when we go to those events. So Jill did 8 interviews on top of working like 11-hour days in a booth in a conference pretending to be in a good mood that whole time.
Correct. I do presentations at our ALA booth when I go to these, along with, it's a lot of talking. So by Saturday was, I did one on Friday, which is very unusual, but we did it before the exhibit floor opened because it was the only time that was available for all of us, but it worked out okay. So did one on Friday I'm trying to do the math in my head. I think I did 4 on Saturday.
And like 3 on Sunday?
And 2 on Sunday, 1 Monday. I think that's right. Is my math okay? I think that's right.
Yeah, I think that's right.
I think that's right. Yeah.
That's so many interviews.
It was a lot of interviews. It was a lot of interviews. But they all went really well.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I can tell people what I did, like who I interviewed.
You can talk to them. Yeah, because they're not going to come out for a long, long time anyway.
Some of them are in the near future, but some of them will be much
later. Oh, you're right. Yeah, sorry.
So I interviewed Kosoko Jackson from Sourcebooks, and who else did I interview? Blake Crouch.
Yeah, that was a really good.
He was incredible.
Really good picture.
They were all incredible. Don't mean that. Mean anything else?
No, and I think it's fair to say, like, we interview a lot of authors who like debut, who we might not have been familiar of before, but then we interview people who we are both fans of, and so it's a unique experience to meet them.
Correct.
So I think you're allowed to say that Blake was awesome.
Blake was awesome. Kim Michelle Richardson, her book, The Bookwoman of Troublesome Creek, which was fun because I went to grad school in Kentucky, which is where the book is set and where Kim's from. So we kind of course she went to Louisville and I went to University of Kentucky, so that was a cool thing.
Oh boy.
Karen Russell, she wrote Swamplandia, ! And she has a new short story collection coming out called Orange World. Orange World and Other Stories. I was her first interview about the book. Helen Ellis, who wrote American Housewife, she also has a new book of essays coming out called Southern Lady Code. She has a podcast called Southern Lady Code where she sort of breaks down, Southerners are known to say one thing and mean something completely different.
Oh, bless your heart, that kind of
stuff. That kind of thing. So she has a whole podcast dedicated to that.
That rules.
Right? I'm going to start forgetting people. Oh, my gosh.
I can't believe you didn't pull up the list because it's so many people.
I probably should have, clearly.
Are you trying to go through them in your mind, like, in order
on the days? I am trying to
go through
them in my mind in order, and it is... Obviously. Way of Two More. Her book, She Would Be King, was the Sarah Jessica Parker book from just a few months ago. Rachel Housel Hall did her book, They All Fall Down, is coming out soon. It's sort of a updated. She was inspired by Agatha Christie's And Then There Were None.
Hell yeah.
Which is all I really needed to know about it. Is that everybody? I feel like I'm missing somebody. Who am I missing? That's terrible. Oh, Emily Duncan.
Yes.
That's what I was forgetting. Sorry, Emily. Emily Duncan is a YA author. She has a book called Wicked Saints, which is sort of like a Joan of Arc with blood magic. It's kind of a good way to describe it. And we had a very interesting connection that I will not go into, but it was very surprising when I met her and we started talking.
Yeah, Inside Baseball. That's funny that that's the one that you
and I forgot. I know. We have this super personal connection that I did not realize in advance of interviewing her.
Yeah, you told me that. That was so funny. But yeah, that's some. And then, and we'll continue talking about the things you did there. But then when you came back, it just so happened that, as everyone knows, sometimes there's interviews that one of us does and the other one doesn't. You did two interviews this week already.
And I won tomorrow.
You won tomorrow as well?
Thursday.
You can talk about the ones that you did.
So on Monday, I interviewed Fiona Barton, the thrilling thriller writer of...
yeah.
It might not be on the updated calendar. It was rescheduled from Friday. The one you're looking for. Anyway. yeah, so she wrote The Child and the Widow. She has a new book out called The Suspect. And tomorrow I am interviewing... I'm going down to Border. Trust me on this one. But tomorrow I'm interviewing Alexandra Robbins. She writes sort of social science books. My favorite of hers is Pledged, which is about sororities. She kind of goes undercover into sororities, and now she has one out. It's out now.
Yeah, you do. Called, you did like that one. I remember that.
Yes, called Fraternity. So I'm very excited to be able to interview her. And today, Wednesday.
Go ahead.
I got to interview Jennifer Weiner.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Also the first interview she's done about her new book, which comes out in June, and it's called Mrs. Everything. And on Twitter, I described it as Beaches, the movie Beaches, but with mothers, daughters, and sisters, and I may never recover from it. And she totally retweeted me. So.
Yep.
And when I told her that was me, before we started recording, I was like, that was totally my tweet. She's like, you're my favorite person in the entire world. I love Beaches. Who doesn't love Beaches? In the 80s version, I love Adina, but we're not going to talk about that one.
Man, yeah, you crushed it. That's there's so many authors. I felt almost bad when you're like, I looked and I was like, oh, those are all interviews that Jill's gonna be doing by herself. But we have so many interviews.
Well,
still,
we should talk about who I didn't interview, but we are interviewing.
Go ahead. Just go ahead, say it. It's fine.
I got to meet in person Mallory O'Mara from the Reading Glasses podcast.
So she's just the coolest person. Yeah. As you all know, we talked about this a lot. Jill and I have been on the Reading Glasses podcast before, talking about libraries a while back. And then we just kind of struck up a friendship with Mallory and Bria. And so Mallory's actually been on the podcast before in October, talking about horror books because she's a huge horror reader. So she wrote her book all about the woman who created The Creature from the Black Lagoon, like created the concept of the design of it. We got no credit because men are terrible.
Pretty much.
Which we'll get into in the interview. But I'm sitting there on my couch in the freezing cold in our hometown now, where Jill and I both reside, actually. And I'm sitting there, and I'm like two-thirds of the way through Mallory's book. And I'm like, man, this book is so good. I am so happy about this. And I get this text from Jill in all caps. It says, "Don't hate me." And then it's a picture of Jill with Mallory at Mallory's book signing.
That's right.
I was so salty.
I did that.
I was so salty, but also so happy for you. But, I mean, we're going to get into a little bit later, like the books we've been reading, but you and I have both read that one. And her book is, I was like, I tweeted about it. I was like getting teary-eyed about a person I never knew existed, really. That's a sign of a phenomenal author. So
I know. It's so good.
I was very jealous of you.
That's allowed.
You also saw someone else there, too, that we're friends with.
I did.
Yeah.
That was a unexpected one. I just happened to be walking. It's only unexpected because it should not be unexpected. She lives in Seattle, but it was still unexpected. But I was walking through the convention hall back to our booth. And it's funny because David, who is sort of our marketing. I mean, he is our marketing.
he's our director.
He's our marketing director. David and I, because I see her, so I see, I'm going to be like, make this like a big story. So like,
go for it.
I see this very petite woman in a red raincoat with short gray hair walking past, like her, she's got like cute, like bags, tote bags, because librarians love tote bags, walking towards our booth. And I'm, but not like towards our booth, just past our booth. And I start to follow her because I'm like, I think I know who that is. And then David is coming in the other direction. And we both have this moment where like, that's Nancy Pearl.
Yeah.
So I sort of like start to speed up and call out her name. And then David like magically is there with this phone taking a picture. I ran into Nancy Pearl at American Library Association. And then I had one of our library partners email me because Ricky, our social media person, put it on, you know. And, and so Anne emails me. She's like, you met Nancy Pearl?
Yeah. So I used to do our social media stuff, so it's like this running joke that all of our executives, when they do something, they'll still send it to me as well. I'll be like, hey, can you post this? I'm like, I haven't done it for like 2.5 years. Ricky's wonderful. She's way better at it than I was. Let her do her job. So David sent this picture to me. And so I forwarded it on to Ricky. And I was like, do with this what you will. But I was like, son of a bee.
It was a total coincidence. It's a huge convention hall. It was split. Well, it's actually not that big, but it was split into two sections, so it felt a lot bigger.
Mm-hmm.
We were on the good side, though, with all the publishers, or a lot of publishers.
That is the best.
Oh, no, I can see Penguin Random House, Caddy Corner, man. From us. Yeah, it was a good spot. So it just happened to be that I was walking in that direction back to our booth at the same time that Nancy Pearl was walking by.
Yeah, so it was fortuitous.
I did also have someone I work our booth, and I think it was Friday or Saturday. I don't remember what day. But I'm standing at the front of our booth where our little desk is, and I have this guy step by, and he's like, are you Jill from the podcast?
Mm-hmm.
So hi, Rudy.
That's awesome.
Giving Rudy a shout out. Thanks for stopping by and saying hello.
I always love when that makes me so happy when that happens. Like, I mean, a lot of our listeners are librarians, and so I never really think about that. We just see download numbers, and I'm like, oh, people are listening to us. Yep. They like what we say. And then when we go to these library conferences, people be like, I listen to your podcast. Or, like, I'll meet a library director. They're like, oh, I listen to your podcast all the time. I'm like, what?
Yep.
Oh, that's awesome. So, yeah. And then you stayed.
I did. I did stay. My husband flew out, and we stayed a couple extra days in Seattle.
Do you have any particularly fun adventure things that you guys did?
We really just kind of walked around.
Mm-hmm.
I did go to the Starbucks Roastery, which was my big thing, which is like the fancy Starbucks.
Yeah, you did like a flight kind of a thing, didn't you?
So, so you know how breweries have their brew places where they brew the beer. The roastery is kind of like that. You walk in and there's these huge vats of what they're. And I know a lot of people have feelings about Starbucks, especially now with Howard Schultz. But
yeah,
I love my Starbucks. I'm just gonna put that out there. So I went to the Roastery. Yeah, so they have this like fancy cold brew with when I walked in, they were doing taste testing, like little samples of this cold brew thing with some like whiskey bourbon barrel age. I can't remember. So I had that, and then my husband showed up, and yeah, he got a tasting. So it was the same blend of coffee but made four different ways. So
interesting.
I'm not going to remember all of them. There's a French press, like a really cute little mini French press. There was a pour over.
Like a drip, maybe?
No, something called a clover. Wait, the pour
over? I know. I've seen clovers. Clovers are like a fancy, I'll let you think of the fourth one. They're like this fancy way to get more flavor out of the bean. Like one out of every 20 Starbucks has a clover machine.
Okay.
Ricky, our social media specialist, her dad likes to get clover coffee.
Okay. Yeah, so it was clover.
It's really strong.
I think it was a pour over. It was a pour over, which was really good. And then they had it as espresso as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a tasting, but you could get a flight of coffee where you had like four different, you know, from whatever brews and blends they had that day, you could get a flight.
I would like to do, we should find someone to like sponsor this. I would like to do a flight of coffee with a flight of whiskey and just make a flight of Irish coffees.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Who can we get to sponsor that?
There's, you know what? We have Cleveland whiskey. We have whiskey. We have whiskey people in Cleveland, we have coffee roasters here.
That's true.
Do some digging here. That probably won't be a recorded episode.
Probably not.
So Adam was going to record this, and then he drank a bunch of whiskey.
It would be somewhat amusing, though.
It would be amusing. That's true. That's awesome. I was, as everyone knows, I was like moving into my house and getting settled. And there have absolutely been events that one of us has gone to, the other hasn't. And it's just financially, it doesn't make a lot of sense to send like a ton of people to these. It's just a waste of money. But this was the first one that, like, I had FOMO. I was like, oh, man, look at those fun adventures.
Yeah.
Because I've never been to Seattle, so.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. We just basically kind of walked around. He had, my husband has friends who previously lived there, so they scouted out some options for us.
Mm-hmm. And you missed the polar vortex.
Well, yeah, we got back Thursday night, so we got the tail end of the polar vortex. Mm. It was very icy in our poor parking lot, but the problem is I had not dressed for coming back to Cleveland. I had dressed for a day of flight. So we got there and Cleveland Airport, have you ever taken an Uber or Lyft from the Cleveland Airport?
It's very confusing.
You have to wait outside.
Yeah, that part is not great.
So I'm pretty sure though that my husband, after he put in the Uber request or whatever, he waited, like it was just sort of watching the phone until right before they showed up, because it's not a long walk, but it's not just like go outside the door. You have to actually walk down a slight hill.
Yeah,
there's no heat lamps over there.
It's not great.
So I walked out and I was like, oh, I am not dressed for this.
Yeah, love our city, love where we're from. The ride sharing at the airport could use some work. I didn't know that at first. The first time I ever did it, I was standing in the departure area. Yeah, you're shaking your head yes. And I was like, the guy's like, I'm here. I'm like, you're a liar. And he's like, no, I'm parked where I'm supposed to be. It was my fault.
Well, I had done that too. Yes. And the guy luckily texted me and he's like, where are you? And I think he actually did come pick me up once he figured out, I don't even know how to put it in, because the location, I don't know what the actual location address is. So I think you just like put in Cleveland Airport and they expect to pick you up there.
Yeah,
That's not clear to the person putting it in for the first time.
Sure isn't.
So he figured out where I was, and I think he actually did come pick me up from baggage, which he was not supposed to do, because he explained to me on the drive how the whole system works over there with rideshare at the airport.
That's something a lot of airports struggle with. Like when you're like, hey, where's Uber or Lyft stuff? And they just point you to a direction. You're like, no, I've never been here before.
Right.
People, but.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
That was a lot of rideshare information.
That was way more rideshare information than was necessary, yeah. Okay, so I'll talk about some books I've been reading.
Yeah.
Because I've also been reading a lot. So just go back and forth. You are welcome to start if you would like.
Okay. Because of the interviews, I've been reading a lot of advanced copies.
Mm-hmm.
So just over the weekend, again, I finished Mrs. Everything by Jennifer Weiner. It's so good. That's all I can tell you.
People could do, since there will probably be a decently long wait at their libraries for that.
Put that thing on hold now,
like Jill did with...
Oh, that's right. Mm-hmm. I haven't started reading it yet, but here's my plug for putting holds on books as early as you possibly can. And if your library does not yet have it, if they let you recommend it, do that. I don't remember. I wonder if I could probably look it up. I could probably look it up in my OverDrive account, maybe.
I think so, because there's a history of this.
I don't remember when I put a hold on Angie Thomas's new book, On the Come Up, but it must have been really early, because Tuesday morning, I get a notification that the book is available for me to read. And the library, the local library had put the hold, I can't remember which one it is now, only had purchased 17 copies as of yesterday. I mean, they probably have more now, but
I'm curious.
In those like first 17 of people.
I'm curious how many how many our library has at this point. I'm going to take a look.
Yeah, I don't.
No, only 17 copies.
Okay, so they haven't bought any more.
No.
What's the?
Well, they also bought 17 of the e-book, of the audiobook as well.
Oh, well, there's a long wait for those, let me tell you.
There sure is.
So, somehow, again, I don't remember how early I put it on hold, but it was pretty early, apparently.
Speaking of putting holds on titles, so when we do our monthly picks, you and I are famous for putting holds on titles that we recommend before we publish the episode so that we don't have to get behind people in line. And a bunch of mine came available at the same time. So it's like, this is what I've been practicing for because I had a bunch of audio stuff to listen to. So one that I just finished is An Orchestra of Minorities by Chigozie Obioma. And it's about this Nigerian chicken farmer who meets this girl who she's trying to kill herself by jumping into a river off of a bridge. And he throws one of his chickens or two of his chickens in there to like show her like, look how crazy this is. And she changes her mind. They kind of fall in love. And then later he finds out that she is she's from a well-off family. And this chicken farmer guy, he's poor. He doesn't have any family. So her family basically looks down upon him. And so it's this story of how him trying to, you know, win their approval. But the really cool thing is it's told through the his inner chi. Like this is a world that supposes that your chi regenerates over and over multiple times in the history of the world. So your chi maintains all the knowledge from all these different people that they were. But you have no recollection of this. So the chi is actually telling the story of this guy to kind of a like a judge to determine like whether or not what he does at the end of the book was in the right or not. And it's just a really interesting and unique way to tell a story. So it's really cool. We talked about it in the January books, but I highly recommend it. It's great.
That does sound good.
It's really interesting, yeah.
So one book that I did not get in advance of the interview is Blake Crouch's Recursion. Guys, if you read Dark Matter, I'm going to tell you, it's so good. I read it in a day. After the interview, I walked Blake back to back to the Penguin Random House booth, and our friend Hugo was there.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, Hugo, do you have any copies of Recursion? And Hugo goes, well, they're kind of hidden, but for you.
Because
you know, Blake does this. They have these books sitting out, but then if the author's doing a signing, they want to make sure they keep
them. They have them.
So I got a copy, and Blake signed it for me. And it has to do a lot with memory. When he was talking about the book, I think he had a hard time describing it because he didn't want to give away too many spoilers. And I'm having the same time too. Like it starts a lot with memory. We talk a little, for context, so like there's memory. We talk a little bit about the Mandela effect, if that sort of helps you along the way.
Okay, yeah.
Maybe with the book. There is a little bit of, similar themes to Dark Matter, mm-hmm. not quite in the same way, but it's really good. And again, I read it in a day.
That's awesome. Yeah. Our Penguin Random House friends are really awesome with that. When we're in person with them, like they can't always give us advance copies of really, really big books. But if we're at an event, they're like, we'll walk up to them and they'll be like, oh, Adam, come here. And they'll like have like a mystery box behind a thing. And it's like, oh, well, thank you.
No, I got a copy of Karen Russell's short story collection because she had a signing right before our interview. And at one point, Hugo came over and he was like, so this is the last copy of the book. Do you want it?
That rules.
Sure. Thanks, Hugo.
I also just finished Roshani Chokshi's The Gilded Wolves, which, and then I actually tweeted about this morning, she was on First Draft Podcast, which I love, and Sarah, who hosts that, listens to us, and she's really awesome. And she actually wrote a book, too, but I re-listened to their conversation because it's so good. But it's basically, if you're fans of Leigh Bardugo books, it's much in the same vein where it's like a fantasy world and it's a magical heist. And like there's this, it's like Ocean's 11 if it was set in a fantasy heist, or it's set in a fantasy world. It's so good. The characters are so awesome. And there's this mixture of like, it's all about these Babel fragments, which are like pieces of the Tower of Babel that let you shape and change and forge things into out of nothing. And It's set in like this French place, so everyone has these wonderful French names, and the narrators have these awesome French accents. Highly recommend it. It's the first of a YA fantasy trilogy, and it's so fun. It's just one of those books where, like, a few hours into it, I was like, I'm just really enjoying myself listening to this. I was like, going on long runs and like finding excuses. My dogs didn't even want more walks, but I wanted to keep listening to it. So I was like trying to find reasons to have headphones in. It's really fun. People will blow through it. Highly recommend it. It's great.
A couple weeks ago, I had a friend send me a copy of Becoming by Michelle Obama. I had not read it yet.
Oh.
Well, that was one I did not get on the wait list early for.
Yeah.
So when it magically showed up in the mail, it was a great day. So
it is a great day.
I've been reading that. It's really good. And she's such a wonderful writer. And more than anything, I just love that she refers to Barack as Barack.
Yeah, it's really awesome. I love those little things.
It's just so, yeah, she's like, oh, you know, Barack.
Yeah. That's great.
But she's a really wonderful storyteller and kind of learning about her life just great.
Yeah. I don't remember who told me to listen to this or read it, but I'm currently about two-thirds of the way through The Spellbook of Katrina Van Tassel. It's a story of Sleepy Hollow. So it's a Sleepy Hollow story, but told through Katrina's eyes. Mm. And it really died, like the first half of the story is all about Katrina and Ichabod's like love. And it's so wonderful. Alyssa Palumbo, who wrote it, is a wonderful writer. It's so great. It makes me want to have like mulled cider, and I really want the fall to arrive. It's very autumnal. But if you are a fan of Legend of Sleepy Hollow, Headless Horseman, anything in that ilk, it's just really good. It's really fun. I love stories that I love retellings, but also just like it feels really familiar, just like knowing. Oh, like Katrina Van Tassel. Oh, I remember that. Like, I know these people. I very much, very much enjoy that. And she also definitely has references. I want to talk to her, even if it's not like for the podcast. I just want to like talk to her. There's absolutely Hamilton references in here that I'm like, She mentions the fact that they ran into Alexander Hamilton, and like she specifically calls him like, oh, it's George Washington's right hand man. I'm like, you like Hamilton? I bet. I just want to like email her and be like, hey, quick question. You made a bunch of Hamilton references in here, right? So, but yeah, The Spellbook of Katrina Van Tassel is super fun as well. I'm very much enjoying that.
I don't think I have any other books.
I have one more.
Okay, go ahead. I can tell you what I'm going to be reading next, but you can go ahead.
Okay, so in a couple of weeks, you guys will hear an interview that I did with Victoria Schwab. That was my one thing where I was like, yeah, that's right. I get to do this thing while Jill's gallivanting. And now I'm just going to come out and say it. I think Victoria and I are best friends. So when we started recording, I'm going to have to do some editing magic because she and I were talking for like 15 minutes about book recommendations because she loves humorous audiobook memoirs like I do. Like memoirs that are all about the comedy world and things like that. And so she was talking and if Victoria Schwab gives you a book recommendation, you take that book recommendation.
Sure.
So she told me to read Just the Funny Parts by Nell Scovell. And Nell is a female writer for television. She created the Sabrina the Teenage Witch, like the ABC and WB versions.
Nice.
But she also wrote on like It's Gary Shandling. She wrote on Late Night with David Letterman. She wrote for The Simpsons, The Critic, NCIS, The Bob Newhart Show, Murphy Brown, like just ridiculous credentials. And it's really interesting because it talks all about her coming up in a very male-oriented area of television writing. And it's kind of like 30 Rock with Tina Fey before 30 Rock with Tina Fey. Like, just talking about all the different things that she went through. And she's also just hilarious. The jokes that she writes in there are so great. So it's a really cool behind-the-scenes look into television writing that you wouldn't get otherwise. So I'm about halfway through that, and Victoria was right. It's really cool. It's a really great book. So what are you going to read next?
So next on my list, funny story. My best friend texted me yesterday, last night, and she goes, have you heard anything about this book? And she sends a link from an NPR Fresh Air interview with Marlon James about Black Leopard Red Wolf. She's like, yeah, have you heard anything about this book? And I literally reach behind me to the bookshelf behind me, and I pull up an ARC and send her a picture. I'm like, oh, you mean this one that I've had an ARC of for 6 months and I've not yet read? I'm pretty sure I requested it. And
I can't believe you got a copy, honestly.
It just came at a bad time. And I was like, yeah, it was not a great time for Epic Fantasies. But I'm really excited to read it. And I always feel so weird. This is not the first time that a book is out and I'm still reading an advanced copy that I have had.
I agree. I know what you mean.
It's so bizarre. But it's for those who don't know, Marlon James set out to write sort of a Game of Thrones type book, but from an African perspective. Mm-hmm. And it's supposed to be really good. I believe it's the first in a series of books.
I can actually tell you what I read an article.
Okay.
So it's three books, and it's the same story in all three books, told from three different perspectives, and you as the reader have to figure out which perspective you believe, because two of them are lies.
Oh, that makes me so excited. Yeah. Now I'm definitely reading
and
this
he literally
book.
And he said in the
he knows
okay. And he said, and he's like, but I just want you guys all to know there's not going to be a fourth book that's like, yeah, this was what actually happened. He's like, so he's like, I'm not planning on telling you.
That makes me even more excited. So that is 100% on my TBR, and then it is being sent to my best friend.
Yeah, that is, I got on the hold list for the audiobook of that very early. I'm reading a book right now called The Priory of the Orange Tree by Samantha Shannon, which I'm going to interview her in a couple weeks. But it's like 900 pages, so I can't focus on anything else.
Oh, yeah, that's a big one.
It's beautiful, and if you follow her on Instagram, there's all these like running jokes of everyone keeps sending her pictures of the book like standing up sideways, and they're like, wow, when the book is so big that you can write the name of the title across the spine. I kind of want to joke with her and be like, you could have made this a trilogy. This is three books in here, literally. But it's really good so far. But because of that, everything I've been placing on a hold on, I'm like, I should do the audiobook just in case. But I'm so excited.
Yeah, I don't know how I got it. I think I requested it from... I think it's a Penguin Random House book. I'm pretty sure I requested it. It's also possible that Hugo and I believe have somewhat similar tastes in books, and so it's possible he recognized this as one and sent it to me. I honestly can't remember.
Yeah, no, Hugo and you are like aligned, and then we have this wonderful publicist named Ellen Wright, who she works for Orbit, which is through HarperCollins or Macmillan?
Hachette.
And she and I have similar science fiction and fantasy tastes, so she'll send me books all the time as well that I like, that I get very excited about. But yeah, that the Marlon James book, I feel like that's gonna be probably one of the most talked about books this year. It's has a lot of hype.
I agree, and he came to Cleveland back in 2015 because he won the fiction award for
Annisfield Wolf.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yes, it is Annisfield Wolf Book Award. Oh God, sorry.
part of Cleveland Book Week.
It is a Cleveland Literary Award. Bet you didn't know that Cleveland had a literary award.
And it's a pretty big deal.
It is a pretty big deal. So yeah, Marlon James came for his last book. It would not. I feel like this is going to get a lot of press.
For sure. Yeah, I'm excited. Other things you want to talk about? What do you think?
Like what?
I don't know. I haven't seen you in a while. I just want to make sure we weren't leaving anything out.
I don't think we are.
Okay. In the near future, maybe next week even, we'll do some PBN Reading Challenge recommendations because we haven't done any of those yet. I do want to say we have a listener named Tina who has an awesome, awesome book blog called TBR Etc., and she wrote a awesome post and that she shared all over the place, and I know that we shared it too. She gave her own recommendations for the PBN Reading Challenge, so thank you, Tina. You're wonderful. And you can find those on our Twitter account at ProBookNerds. And then we'll do some next week. So
sounds good.
Awesome. Cool. Now we have next week planned. Look at us.
Yay!
Okay. Well, as I mentioned, you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at ProBookNerds. You can email us at professionalbooknerds@overdrive.com if you want some recommendations. You can go to our website, professionalbooknerds.com. Join our Vibber community there. And if you want, you can go leave us a review and a 5-star rating in iTunes, because that helps people find us. I just pushed the thing on my chair that pushes the chair down with my leg, and my whole chair just started falling down, and Jill is losing her mind laughing at me because I didn't know what was happening. I think that's a good place to end. All right, I'm glad you're back, and I hope you all enjoyed this episode of the Professional Book Nerds podcast.
Readers can sample and borrow the titles mentioned in today's episode from Overdrive.com, and our library friends can add these titles to their collections and marketplace.
Hey there!
I'm Hannah.
And I'm Audrey.
We are a sister filmmaking duo
and co-hosts of Sleepover Cinema,
our show where we analyze the films that created the collective unconscious of the girls, gays, and theys of the late 90s and early 2000s.
Princess Diaries, The Cheetah Girls, Aquamarine, Cinderella, the one starring Brandy.
We haven't stopped thinking about these movies since we first saw them, and we want you to rewatch them
and review them with us.
Are these movies as bad as critics would have us believe?
Do we even care if they are?
We are always unpacking that very question on Sleepover Cinema.
Check out Sleepover Cinema wherever you get your podcasts or at evergreenpodcasts.com.
See you soon!